Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
And today we're going to concentrate on two people, actually it's one person, but this person is in relationship with the other person, and his name is Barnabas. I don't know about you, but I just somehow have difficulty pronouncing Barnabas. It's got to be a very conscious effort, so today it shall be as Barney.
Two heads are better than one. So Barney was invited to Antioch. When he first went to Antioch, he saw there was great revival happening in Antioch. Beautiful. Well, at that time, of course, revival came at a cost. At that time, Stephen was being martyred. There was great persecution. But amidst the great persecution, there was a great revival that broke out in the church. So Barney was there in Antioch looking at this whole scene, and he says, wow, if only I can find someone that I can trust, someone that I think has got the giftedness to come and to minister to these people, it'll be so good. So Barney thought of a man. Barney thought of the man called Saul, who later changed his name to Paul. Barney knew that he couldn't handle the situation alone, and so he thought if Paul could come along, they will be able to handle the situation a lot better. Now, this is no rocket science. In the Bible, we always talk about two heads are better than one, but the scientists come up with a term called complementing. Barney began to see that Saul or Paul could complement him. Two heads are better than one. Complementing looks like this. You have nothing, I have nothing, but when together we come, we have something. You may not have this particular thing, I may not have this particular thing, but hey, when we come together, we have it. That's complimenting. That means two heads are better than one. Barney has the influence, he has got the position, he has the ability to see the need in Antioch, but he didn't have the ability to do all that is required that Antioch needs in terms of coping with the revival. But Paul has. And so he thought of Paul, and together they went over there to see what they can do, and they actually stayed there for 1 year. King David complimented the son Solomon. See, King David has got the wealth. King David has got the influence. He knows who to call. He has got the connection. He knows who to call and get a lot of money from them. He knows who to contact to get a lot of resources from them. Solomon didn't have, because Solomon was a young king. But David was not allowed to build the temple. So what did he do? He thought, if I can't build the temple, but I've got the means, I can do something. I can help my son, who doesn't have the resources. And so together, they put their heads together. Two heads are better than one. And then what happens then is you saw the whole temple being built up. Recently, I had a challenge in Singapore. I think I overpromised. I tend to sometimes overpromise. Anyway, I overpromised this once. I've never worked with my nephew and my niece before. They are in their teens. But because of the situation and the ripe opportunity to do something for my sister-in-law, I told them, I said, look, I'm learning under this great chef on TV. I can actually organize you two to be in my team, and we can cook a 3-course dinner for your mom so that she is happy. Over-promising. Because it was really very tough looking at the recipes of this great chef and trying to come up with something to teach these guys. And I had to learn in Perth, gather all my resources, my ingredients, everything, learn up the recipe by heart. It was just a big chunk that I bit on, and it was too big. But hey, when we put your two heads together, when you put your 3 pairs of hands together, guess what? Dinner is done. We did it. We did it. I'm just wondering this year, what is God putting into your heart that you need to do with another person? What is God putting into your heart to say, okay, I may not have this particular ability, but somebody I know have, and I have got the connection. How about we coming together and do something for God today? Or what about doing something for our family today? Or doing for a particular person in the hospital today? What is God putting into your heart this year? Why don't you take the risk to do something like that? And there is a risk. If I tell you what actually happened in the life of Paul, there is a risk. There is a risk that Barney took. There is a risk against complimenting someone. And the reason Larry Crabb, the psychologist and author, he says, the problem beneath our struggles, there is a risk, there is a force against us coming together. Larry Crabb says, the problem beneath our struggles is a disconnected soul and the need for authentic Christian communities. There are some people who are disconnected from the community of Christians, but there is a great need for us to have the Christian communities that are real, that know how to minister to people. Now, Saul was that person. Paul was that person. He was actually the disconnected soul. If you know the story of Paul, before Barney got him to go to Antioch, you must realize that Saul was not a person that you would want to partner on your team. The reason is because Paul, I'm going between Saul and Paul, you know what I'm talking about. When I say Saul, it means Paul. When I say Paul, it means Saul, right? You got to do some work as well, right? Before that, before Antioch, Paul was actually a troublemaker. He was a troublemaker because he went around persecuting churches. He was the one who ordered the martyrdom of Stephen. So he was responsible for some of this havoc and some of this chaos in the church. He was a troublemaker. He was a troublemaker. And now he is going to be involved in the work with the people in the city, the apostles in the city. Of course, he's not going to be accepted. No way the apostles would trust him. No way, right? In fact, in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, you turn to that. Acts chapter 9. Verse 26 says, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. They didn't believe him. They were afraid of him. And some people are like that in our social circle. Some people are like that maybe in our church. Some people are like that maybe in our extended family. We are kind of like, I'm not sure about you, right? So what do you do when you get inspired to love and you come across someone like Paul? What do you do? Well, what Barney did was he stick his neck out. He stick his neck out. And I think sometimes we may need to stick our neck out. If we say we want to love, I mean, these words are lovely. When I was in Venice, I saw these words in the museum gallery. It was so beautiful. I took some photos. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful word. And it's a beautiful piece of art. I say, who did this? Is it Tony? Is it Tony? Tony, where are you?
I'm here.
I was told you did this.
I'm just drafting.
You're just drafting. You did it. Yeah, okay. Please give him a round of applause. It's a lovely piece of art. is a lovely word, but I think it needs us to understand that with this word, beautiful as it is, it involves sometimes dealing with people that are not trustworthy, some people who are not so well loved or not so popular, and sometimes we may need to stick our neck out. Of course, I don't want you to be naive. There are some people I don't help at all because I'm not willing to stick my neck out. But there are some people that you need to discern, and these are the people who might really need a second chance. Like in the life of Paul, he needed a second chance. And Barney made a good evaluation of him, and he stuck his neck out for this person. The affectionate Barnabas, who is also known as a son of encouragement, he took Paul by the hand in the hour of need. You see, if you know Barney, Barney is not an ordinary person. Just as like us, we're not ordinary people. We have power. We have the power to befriend. We have the power to be relational. We have the power to make friends. We have the power to do a lot of things. Barney was actually a very powerful person. He not only was a leader in the city, he was actually very influential. How do I know? Because this time when I went to Turkey, I realized that the god Zeus is a very well-respected and well-worshipped god in that kingdom. And when Barney was going around, he was actually mistaken. In fact, he was actually worshipped by the people. He says, wow, look at Barney. Barney, Barney, he is the Zeus. So he's a big man. He's a Zeus. He is like the chief of the gods, and he is like the father of the gods, father to maybe even God Apollo, maybe even God Hermes. He was a big figure. He was a big figure. But Barney didn't kind of like think, oh, hey, look, I'm a big figure. Oh, yes, I'm like a Zeus. Yes, oh, I'm like God. And he hides himself. No. He stick his neck out for someone whom he evaluated to be someone that needs his help. You see, Paul, no doubt, was disconnected from the Christian community, but Paul was also showing by his transformation when he was preaching in the city, and Barney saw that change, that real change in Paul, and then Barney was so filled with the love of God, the compassion of God, not the naivety of God. God is never naive. We can be naive. But with the compassion of God, with the wisdom of God, to know that this is not a phony, and Barney stood up for Paul. He stick his neck out. You see, sticking your neck out for people like that takes a lot of risk, I'm telling you. Takes a lot of risk. I told you of this soy sauce lady, very influential. I've told you this before. And she said, I want to stand up for people who are less able in the market. Wow. But that takes a lot of risk, you know. If this person that you are going to support may not return your love, this person may not return your kindness, this person may even bite you back. It's terrible, huh? So what do you do? But yet here, you come to church and you are told to love. Then you go out there and it's like, I'm not going to love this person. This person might bite me back. And what do? You are in what we call dissonance, you know, in a state of dissonance. Don't know what to do. Called to love and yet cannot love. And you feel guilt not loving. You feel shame not loving. I don't think we want to be there. We want to be free. Free to love. God freely tabernacled himself with us so that we can freely also dwell in the midst of people in love. There is a risk. In fact, Proverbs tells us, this one is really interesting. I really like what this one says. It says, when you dig a well, you might fall in. So there's a risk. It's true. Proverbs, very wise, huh? So if you dig a well, yeah, you can get water, but you may fall in. That's a risk. And then it says in the same, actually not Proverbs, sorry, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 10:8, it says, if you break down a wall, You may be bitten by a snake, especially if that side of the wall is not so developed. You may be bitten by a snake. And it's quite true. You know, when the vacant land is all prepared to build, a lot of things come out of those vacant land. When you want to break down something, something may come back and bite you. But we need to take the risk. You need to break down that wall if that wall is a barrier. You need to dig that well if that well is going to be a resource to you. We need to take risk. And when you help somebody, you may be accused of being a busybody, or you may be accused of helping too much, whatever it is. It does not mean that we don't help people. Wow. As I say, don't be naive. There are some people who will tell you even not to help. But generally, there are many people out there that have got needs, like Paul, that need to be helped, that needs a door to be opened. Barney took Paul and brought him to the disciples. We were told in Acts chapter 9, verse 27, it says, Barney took Paul and brought him to the apostles, and he told them how Paul, on his journey, had seen the Lord. Of course, Paul has already said, I saw the Lord, I saw the light, I was going towards this place, and I saw the light, but nobody believed him. So now, Barney stood up for him, stuck his neck out for him, and say, look, I think Saul, through his testimony, and I believe it, that he has seen the Lord, and the Lord has spoken to him, and now I've actually seen with my eyes, he said, in Damascus, how he preached fearlessly in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is very important, because the support to Paul was so crucial to Paul's development as a Christian and as a Christian leader in the city. And because of what Barney did, Paul was able to stay with the apostles. He was able to move about freely in Jerusalem, and he was able to speak boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was able to write so many epistles in the New Testament that was so crucial in the whole Christian doctrine. Because somebody stuck his neck out to believe in a man that was questionable in his integrity, but who was sincere in his heart. And this man, Barney, saw that he could take the risk. He could break down the wall of all these animosity, and he was willing to take the risk to do something, to give somebody who is keen to mend their ways a second chance. Give this person a reattachment. No wonder Larry Krebs says, you know, some people are so wounded, they don't know how to reattach. And it's true. There are some people out there that are so wounded, they don't know how to attach to us. Because when they come near us, we are like in a certain class, in a certain realm. My mother was like that. My mother said, No. Don't want to go to the church. I said, why? I said, they dress nicely. I said, but you dress very nice. I said, no, they dress more nicely. Oh, and smell good. Oh, but you smell good. No, I don't feel comfortable. What's happening? Okay, maybe it's their perception. But we need to be able, if we are saying that we want to love, we want to be that person of encouragement, we want to represent the church, for example, in loving, we want to live out this art, we want to live out this word, we need to come forth as someone who is able to open doors for people who genuinely need doors open. We must not be hung up by the one that hurt us. Of course, there are people that you open doors for them and they bang the door on your face. Yeah, but we must not be hung up on that just one person who knocked you in the face and not help other people who genuinely, and I stress the word, who genuinely need the help, and we may need to take some risks, open the doors, and love. Got it? This is not new, huh? But to put it into practice, we need to ask the Lord's love in us to increase, the Lord's risk in us to increase, so that we can give out the love that is not just within our means. I tell you what, You know, sometimes it's easy to love people that are within your means. You know, it's easy. But God has tested me so much. He sent me a lot of people that just are difficult. I don't mean you. Some of my counselees. Sometimes it's really, really tough to actually love them truly. And yet, I find myself being able to love them. You know what I'm saying? It's really funny. You don't have it. You don't have it. But when you are put in that position of that person there, you have it. That's called the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. You don't have the love. You don't have the means. You don't have the support. You don't have the resources. But when you put yourself to the task, when you see that person and you have the compassion of God, you get affected here in your guts, then God begin to work in you and you have it there. It's called the work of the Holy Spirit. Love is not airy-fairy. Love is an action that hits you in the guts that you cannot help it, but you have to do it, even though you have risk attached to that. Only that can come from God. Only that can come from God. And we need to really rely on God and say, oh God, oh, this year we are about love. Someone said it's scary, huh? We are doing this thing on love. It is scary. But I tell you what, it's not scary when we can go back to the Lord and say, oh God, you are the fountain of love. I don't have it, but you have it. You're going to give it to me if you want me to connect with this person. You're going to help me, Lord. And then when you go into it, then you realize you experience the Trinity God in you. You experience the tabernacle in you. You experience the dwelling of God in you. I tell you what, you experience Jesus. Especially when Jesus was on the cross and he says, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. Wow, I think that is love in the third degree. I don't know how many degrees you have. The nth degree. Infinite degree. When we are able to put ourselves in those positions, take some risk. Maybe there are some partnerships God wants us to go into. There are some groups, new groups that God wants us to go into. Maybe there are some things God wants you to do that is beyond your comfort zone. I tell you what, love the work and love God in you, because God wants to bring that out. I say, it's time. It's time that you are being brought forth, you know, from this light that is so beautiful, that is so covered up. God says, it's time. Come out. I want to let that light shine. I want to let that love be evident. I want you to spill out your love. Spill out your love. Take some risks. Two heads are better than one. Stick your neck out for somebody. My third point is the most difficult point. And I'm going to use an image to help me convey this third point to you. And I think it's very necessary when you say you want to love. Okay? And sometimes some difficult relationships may need us to do number three. And I'm going to share with you anyway, and then we are going to pray that God will give us strength to be able to do that. The third point is this. Sometimes we may need, if we say we love, to acknowledge the elephant in the room. And if you go into Google, you put elephant in the room, you know, a lot of pictures will come out. Husband and wife talking about everything, and there is this big elephant in the room that they didn't even notice or don't want to even share. So the elephant in the room is an idiom that means there is a huge problem, but it's a problem that people are avoiding even though it is so obvious, like the elephant. And I think there is a need, if we want to be able to exercise the love of God, there is a need to be able to acknowledge, to notice, to even say that there is an elephant in the room. You see, when we are in the team, and after we're going to have leaders meeting, when we are in a team, or like now, in the church community, there is this glorious intersection between task and between people. Once you get a team or a community that has got people and have got tasks, one inevitable thing might happen. And that is, we can sometimes be susceptible to conflict. You see, when you need to get things done and people are not doing it, you can potentially see conflict happening. Or you can have conflict with people because they are just not happy to be working with us or not having the resources to work with us, and we've got an ideal. And so sometimes these two things can conjure up or play up a situation that can potentially be a conflict. And I tell you what, no matter what kind of personality we are, I think we all tend not to like to engage in conflict. And if we do engage in a conflict, sometimes we don't even know how to control ourselves in our responses. Sometimes when we want to engage in a conflict, some people will go passive, like, no, nothing's happening, that's okay. The elephant is in the room, but hey, nothing's happening. Sweep everything under the carpet, nothing happens. Oh, everything is rosy, everything is nice. Everybody thinks you're a nice person, but inside, you are brewing, you are simmering, waiting for the right time. Before my parents were Christians, they were doing this a lot. You know, hey, you get angry with me? Okay. I will cut the tail of the bird that you are raising. Because my father raised a lot of, you know, very good birds. And, you know, oh, he can like that. And then the bird's tail will like, oh, you know. So mom knows how to step on his tail. I mean, not the bird's tail, my father's tail. By saying that, you know, if you are going to do this, then very soon the tail of your birds might not be there. Very passive. Don't tell my dad, but slowly the feathers all went missing. Very passive. We don't like to engage in conflict, but some, they want to engage in conflict because their personality is very active. They want to engage, but they also don't know how, because, you know, sometimes when it gets too much, it's like, whoa, it comes out. In fact, if it, there is this very nice proverbs that says, if the conflict gets too much, as in the water is too much, the strife is too much, as in like the dam is not given a barricade and it's coming out, stop arguing, stop the argument. Because sometimes people cannot control it, and so they go into the aggressive thing where things goes out of hand, where the bitterness, the passion, and the anger just went out of hand. I just got somebody told me, he says, you know, I'm so angry. I said, yeah, you look really angry. He says, yeah, I'm so angry. I'm so passionate. I said, stop being passionate. Sometimes passion and anger uses the same source. And when you cannot control it, your passion becomes anger. And some people say, but Jesus was angry. Yeah, Jesus was righteously angry. Can you be righteously angry? Only God can be angry and not sin. We are angry and sometimes we sin, even for righteous causes. Huh? Sometimes you talk about the poor and the refugee and you get all worked out. You think that's righteous anger? I think you're killing the people around you. Aggressive. The thing is, to acknowledge the elephant in the room, we cannot go aggressive. We cannot go passive. Nancy Octobot, the wife of John Octobot, who is an author and also a pastor, she says, conflict isn't pleasant, but it's your necessary friend. Don't avoid it. Insist on it. So we need to acknowledge the elephant in the room. God gave us the love to be able to relate with people. But sometimes, yeah, difficult issues come in the way, and we need to acknowledge the elephant in the room, and we need to get this elephant out of the room so that the communication can start all over again. If we want to love, it's not to love and then pretend like nothing happens. No, we can't. Nancy Octobot says we can't. We don't avoid it. We must insists on it. Because if we avoid conflict, almost always it will guarantee to build relationally deep teams. We won't be able to build relationally deep lives. We won't be able to make good decisions for the family or for the company or for the home. And if we don't engage in healthy debate or discussion in the home or in the church or even in the workplace, we're going to inject a lot of politics into the organization, whether it's in the company or in the church or in the home, and everybody is going to just do things, but everybody is just watching and not loving wholeheartedly. So conflict needs to be dealt with. And if you don't deal with it, it will go somewhere. It will go behind closed doors. And I've seen people who would keep those things in their heart for a long, 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 long time, and that's not going to build deep community. It will be a sort of harmony, but it will be like an artificial harmony. It will be like a sort of peace, but it will not be real peace. It will not be good peace. It will be like a false peace. Jesus was very direct, actually. If you look at Jesus' style, he was very direct. He says, let your conversation be yes, yes, no, no. And he actually did it. He actually did it. Like, and he was in at the well with the woman with the five husbands. He didn't kind of like beat around the bush and be very indirect and all. No, he says, you know, I know your situation. You actually have five husbands. And the one that you are staying with is not your husband. Look, I know your pain. I know your pain. I know you need water that is not going to just satisfy you at the sexual level or the physical level. I know your pain. Your pain goes right deep down. It's a spiritual problem. He was very direct. He was very direct. And at one time, the disciples couldn't get the spirit, the evil spirit out of the man that was not well. And Jesus says, look, I tell you what. You didn't pray enough. You didn't fast enough. He says, this kind of deliverance need fasting and praying. And he was very direct about it. He didn't beat around the bush. He was direct. He was trying to solve a problem in ministry. Wow. What's that? And then the other one, he says to the mother of John and James, mother of John and James says, look, my sons have served you so much, Jesus. Surely they deserve something better in heaven. Why don't you let my son sit next to you? One on the left, one on the right. Mothers, we all like our children to be promoted. Sometimes we go to this kind of means. I know of mothers who will march up to the office of their 34-year-old boy, men, and fight with the boss. There are, you know. What did Jesus say? Well, Jesus says, it's not up to me, it's not up to you, it's not up to your sons, it's up to the Father who wants or not your sons to be there with me. Very direct. And that's where transformation happens. You see, Paul and Barnabas had a task in mind. The task was to go and visit all the believers in all the town. That was a good goal. That was a good thing. But the problem is this, the elephant in the room. The problem is this, they couldn't agree who was going to go on the team. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 15, Barnabas wanted to take John, also known as Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. And they had such a sharp disagreement that because of that, they parted company. And Barnabas went, took Mark and went for Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and left and went to Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Got problem here. In fact, this was a very sore point. Whenever we talk about Saul and or Paul and Barney, this is a big problem. I mean, they've got good hearts, you know. They want to go and strengthen the churches. But problem, the elephant in the room is that they couldn't agree who to bring. So what did they do? They didn't ignore the elephant in the room. They didn't say, oh, okay, all right, yeah, yeah. You're not cooperative. Yeah, yeah. You think you're very smart. You see, why Barney wants to bring John Mark? Barney is John Mark's cousin. So I think maybe in the family, you know, you tend to be a little bit more lenient. Huh? He says, it's okay, well, he didn't come and stay with us in Pamphylia. That's okay, we can always, you know, have him again. But Paul says, no, look, I'm not prepared to, you know, to be with this mediocre sort of a worker. If you say you want to do something, you do something. You don't just, you know, say and then don't do, you know. This is not... So there was a sharp disagreement. So what do? You need to solve the problem. It's an elephant in the room. You know, some of us have issues, and some of these issues need to not be put in the closet anymore, not to be just left unturned in the carpet. It needs to sometimes be addressed. And I believe in sometimes being quiet, because I think the quiet words are the wise. I believe in that as well. I really believe in that. But I think if we have got issues and it's not being brought up, the bad news is it doesn't go away. If it's still affecting you and it's affecting other people, it has not gone away. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be acknowledged. The love of God in you will help you be able to address even difficult situations. So what did they do? They came together with the blessing of the people. So they got a group of people that were prayer warriors, that were peacemakers, that were good men, and together, and they say, look, we have disagreement, but look, I think what Barney can do is to take John Mark and you go to your own area, and yes, Paul, I will take a few people with me and we'll go this way, and then the people bless them with the grace of God. So good. The people bless them with the grace of God and says, go, may the Lord be with you. It's good to acknowledge the elephant in the room, but it is good when you are trying to acknowledge the elephant in the room is to have a buffer of love. And this buffer of love involves being able to forgive and being able to release. Like Colossians chapter 3 tells us, be tolerant with one another and forgive one another whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else. You must forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities of forgiveness, add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. So if you and your husband have a quarrel, or you and your wife have a quarrel, it's not only good to just forgive. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3, he says, on top of that, add love. So not only do you say, I'm sorry and I forgive you, I'm sorry, I forgive you, you still got to make dinner for them. Add love. And not only make dinner, make the best chicken dish. After that time of forgiveness, that's what the Bible says. Love. Love must change you from inside out. And love needs to express like that. And when you can express like that, you become what Pastor says, you become God-like. You cannot become God, but you can become God-like. See, when these two brothers begin to have this buffer of love, and practice love even in this agreement, there was reconciliation between the two of them. So if you read 2 Timothy 4:11, we were told that Paul actually requested Timothy to bring John Mark in the ministry because Paul wants to see him. See, there must be reconciliation. And then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, he talks about John Mark, the relative of Barnabas, so the cousin of Barnabas, and he told the Colossian church, look, I got information that John Mark's going to come and visit you. I want you to give him, not a kick, I want you to give him the heartiest welcome. Heart of love. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, Paul spoke of Barnabas in very affectionate terms, even though they have disagreement. And Paul says, Barney is my fellow worker who shares my life and my labor. Wow. Wow. So good. I was just talking with a pastor the other day, and this is my illustration to finish up the sermon. And he was talking about how, out of the blue, he had got two newcomers in his congregation. The first one was the senior employer employee of that company. And so he came first, and it was all good. He didn't realize that later on the other newcomer, who was the junior employee of the company, both of them had some problems. He didn't know. He was newcomers, you know, different people bring two newcomers, and he didn't know the story. And so guess what? It was a small church, and this senior and this junior employee who were at loggerheads were together in the same service. In fact, I was told that many months ago, the junior says, "Don't let me see this senior in my life, because I'm going to kill him." That was before they were brought to the church. So can you imagine all this animosity happening in their heart? And so they were seated there. They didn't know they were seated there in that position. And so after the altar call, in fact, at the altar call, this junior came forward to receive the release, because he was so upset, and he was asked to forgive, and he was given that heart of release. And so when he was about to return to his seat, he caught hold of that senior. You know what I'm saying? Thank God he has just finished his altar call, yeah? He has forgiven, he has released all his hatred, and he looked at that senior, and guess what? The pastor said there was no fight. There was no fight. They managed to, in the next few months of their relationship in the church, be able to talk through the elephant in the room, be able to resolve their issues. And right now, they are still serving in the church and still fellowshipping in the church. Wow, what love. We all are mistake makers. We all fail, huh? We all sometimes don't know how to do this well, huh? Sometimes relationship is so tough, we don't know how to do things well. But at the end of it, we need to acknowledge the elephant in the room, because God has got a better plan for us. God wants us to come out, stick our neck out for someone. God wants us to partner new people. God wants us to partner with people to do projects so that the kingdom of God can flourish. Amen. We want to have a kingdom of God that flourishes with a lot of activities and people happy, joy of the earth. Not a lot of activities, and everybody has got sparks all over and angry with one another. We don't want that. That's not the joy of the earth. That's not the city of God. That is our own city, huh? And God wants us to live out our love by being relational with one another. Amen. Let the Lord speak to you. Let's pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.